Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
What they do? They smile in your face.
All the time they want to take your place, the backstabbers.
For all the Cardinal haters out there.
They smile in your face.
Were you recusing yourself? welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box. Martin Kilcoin, Frank Cusimano on assignment today. Oh, bonus question from the monologue. We ran out of time there. We ran out of music. Frank going to Booch's, famous hamburger place in Columbia today. Forget the over-under on Frank in the burgers because they're not full-size burgers. How about Stasniak, his legendary photographer who likes to eat over-under? I'm setting it at 4. Frank, I'm going to set it 2.
Yeah, Frank will be 2.
We'll get a full report from Frank when he returns tomorrow. Right now, some Blues conversation with the CEO, Chris Zimmerman, who joins us here on 590 The Fan. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic today.
Chris, what have your Cup experiences been this summer, your time with the Cup? I mean, it has been great fun to just kind of watch its travels, whether it's in social media or in front of people around town. They've all had sightings. How about for yourself?
Well, I've been able to get a number of different experiences with the Cup, individual parties, when we've had family members of our employees. I think that the biggest thing I'd say about the Cup is it has this magical personality that essentially lights up every room it comes into. Seeing the energy, the excitement of really people of every age, deeply committed hockey fans, casual fans, and non-fans, it really is a very special, magnetic, and magical trophy.
And it's really just amazing. All summer long, you'll see a tweet or somebody will text, and I hear it's at the Hive. No, it's going to Obie Clark. So I saw it at Old Worst. A friend of mine's at the Webster Rink. It's got a life of its own. The sad part is you guys don't get to keep it. I didn't realize this, I guess because we've never had the Cup in St. Louis before. Explain to folks how it works.
Yeah, so we're basically given 90 days from the start of our time with it, really to first, obviously satisfy the tradition of every player and really every key member of the team gets the opportunity to have their day with the Cup. And so though the Cup was back over the weekend for a couple of events, it's now left St. Louis again and will be gone till the end of August as it essentially continues to tour both North America and then head over to Russia and Sweden. So we'll get the Cup back in the end of August, early September, but then there's certain commitments the Cup has then. There's a week where the Cup will get engraved in the middle of September, and then there are a couple of other NHL events that it also leaves for.
Chris, you probably had an idea in your head what it would be like if the franchise ever broke through. Give me the comparison from what you thought it would be like to what you're seeing now and how it's played out, and just the absolute mania, I think, beyond even the hardcore hockey fan, even the casual hockey fan, just what it's done in terms of city excitement.
Yeah, so I would tell you that I didn't spend a lot of time imagining what it would be like. I tell the story specifically about the parade that when I got to St. Louis 5 years ago and people started talking about the Cup and what it would be like, there weren't many more common phrases than, well, when the Blues win the Cup, we are going to have a parade like no other parade has ever been. And so that I always found interesting. And, you know, it's like telling somebody that a movie is going to be really, really great. It's just going to blow you away. Well, I can tell you that the way St. Louis responded, the way our players interacted with the fans, everything really about the parade and that experience and how our community has embraced this team, that has exceeded my expectations.
The Blues CEO Chris Zimmerman with us. You mentioned a movie. There's actually a Blues movie premiere this Sunday at the Peabody at 5 o'clock. Special events start at 4. Give us an idea what folks can expect at this. It's going to be at Stiefel on Sunday. The Blues are now a featured film.
Yeah, what a great thought. You know, there's obviously lots of different ways that people are telling our story, commemorating the story, bringing it back to life. So every year the NHL with their partners produces the Stanley Cup Champions movie, and we have it in DVD and Blu-ray format. I have to admit I have neither of those formats right now, so I'll have to figure out where I'll play it. But there is going to be a premiere this Sunday, and along with your ticket comes your choice of format. And you know, I think the movie will be a bit of the behind the scenes. I'm sure it'll capture and probably uses some of the NHL footage that appeared on the quest for the Cup. But it's a different situation now, where we know the ending, and it really ends great.
Yeah, and I don't think people mind knowing the ending. And I said, don't worry, folks, it's family-friendly. The Berube version is R-rated. That was online only. This will be family-friendly. Chris, every summer, I'm sure in your end of it, the business end, you talk to your staff and say, okay, what are we promoting? What are we going to sell? And a lot of times it's roster addition. Maybe there's a new coach. You really don't need to change anything. What's the tracking numbers on tickets? Have you seen any kind of bump? Is it too early to tell? Give me an idea where you are with tickets.
Yeah, so it's not too early to tell. I could have told you the day after, and really even before we had won the Cup, our ticket sales are the strongest in the history of the team. And we are approaching a point where we actually, I had never necessarily thought about being able to say this, where we are in a complete sellout position and actually start to move to a waiting list. So we are, our new full season tickets are, they are at 10 times what they would have been over the last few summers.
So season tickets alone, that typically the base is what, 10 to 12,000? Is that loosely what it's usually?
Those are round numbers. We are as we approach 15,000 full season tickets, we will, based on other needs and being able to satisfy things in the playoffs, we will stop selling new full season packages, and that has never happened in the history of this building.
Wow. And for those going to the games next year, again, there's going to be upgrade. I've been banging on the drum for the seats that were purple or whatever color they were. This is the summer, right? The seats are finally going out.
Yeah, it's exciting. This place is in full construction mode. I believe our last concert was on July 6th, and so on July 8th, we started all in on construction, the seats being, in terms of the bowl, the most visible. We continue to complete the escalator work. We're redoing the press area. There's new lighting going in. Our sub-zero area is getting renovated and expanded a bit. There's, again, the building will feel that much more revitalized again when we open up, I believe, our first concerts on September 3rd. So that, you know, that means we have less than 8 weeks to do this work. And so things are hopping over here. And then, of course, our other project out in Maryland Heights is the Centene Community Ice Center is scheduled to open in early September as well.
I remind everybody, and we've done stories on it on the TV side. We were visiting with the Hollywood Casino folks yesterday. Just the use of that building, everyone says, hey, it's the Blues' new practice facility, which certainly is the centerpiece. What are the other events, other access for folks to play hockey at that venue?
Yeah, so it will be three indoor sheets and then one covered outdoor, which will open in early November. The Blues will represent just 5% of the total ice time for this facility. This is the largest and biggest commitment to hockey in one facility in the history of our market. We've got a number of key tenants. Lindenwood University is moving in. The AAA Blues will have all of their programs there. We have the Lady Cyclones. We have the Blues alumni. This is going to be a great boost for hockey in our market. And importantly, we're going to use this really as a place to get more and more kids involved in the game.
And Chris, before I let you go, just to recap, so we can safely say record-setting ticket sales for the Blues and season tickets. Did you say is capped the right word at around 15,000? That's what you anticipate?
Yes.
And then that way, and you cap it so that you always have hopefully some tickets available for those who just want single game tickets.
Well, there's a limited amount of single game tickets. Obviously, the secondary market is part of our world, so that will be the other way. But yeah, everything, whether it be our suite product or our suite shares, all of these things, I can easily say that we will have a level of demand, or we have a level of demand already that people have never seen here before. So yeah, we're excited about that. And if people are out there listening and haven't jumped in on some of the different plan options we have, go to stlblues.com and give us a call. We're open for business.
And final thought, Chris, in terms of the Cup, I know you said it'll be back in town late August into September before it goes back to the Hockey Hall of Fame. Folks have asked, will it get to Matthews Dickey, North City, other parts of town? What are the thoughts in terms of the Cup tour, I guess, that you guys might be able to control a little bit in September? Any of those events for the public?
Yeah, so we're we had a big planning meeting last night on that, and we do have plans. You know, we're to reach out to as many areas of the community as we can, and I think we'll be publicizing those a bit more. So there'll be a combination of planned events. There will be a combination of what we call pop-ups, where the Cup will appear in places. We want it to touch as many people in our community as we can. I think those numbers now, thousands and thousands, have already gotten the chance. But we're going to be working real hard to make sure that as many in this community get a chance to touch the Cup, to have their photo. It's an important part. This was won by a team, and it was certainly also won by a community.
Chris, appreciate the time. We'll see you soon.
Okay, thanks very much.
All right, Chris Zimmerman, the CEO of the St. Louis Blues. I got a lot of things going on. That new training facility we've talked a lot about, but the fact that it debuts, opens up in the year after they win the Cup, the building looked better. They did a lot of upgrades, but those seats were such an eyesore from day one. We've talked about that before. The fact that next year you can walk in there and those ugly purple seats will finally be gone. It's almost like walking into a new building. All he needed to say at the end there, for people who haven't reached out, I just wanted him to go 622 blue. steal Strick's line, right? Is that trademark for Strick at this point? 622 Blue.
He's embraced it now after not being a big fan of it early on.
Like, he was kind of embarrassed.
He was kind of, yeah, bothered by it.
Because they weren't necessarily on the path to winning the cup, and he was sort of the guy with the pom-poms. So 622 Blue, when we said it, it might have been a little sarcastic. And then now it's become a badge of honor for Strick. And now we're not allowed to talk hockey.
No, we're not.
Without his permission.
Now we're wagon jumpers.
Correct.
Right.
Everybody's on the wagon that wasn't covering the 99 Blues 2 years ago at their morning skate at Brentwood, okay? How about that? 15,000 season tickets. And they're going to, and I guess you have to have some model. I don't know. Like in college football, there's a lot of places that are probably almost sold out every year. Green Bay Packers, you have to get on the waiting list for 20 years.
I think 25 years.
It's unbelievable that the Blues could get to a point where season tickets would be capped at 15,000. What's the attendance? 18 plus the capacity. 18 plus? You're talking about a whole season where it's going to be hard getting in to see the Blues play. Cards tonight in Pittsburgh. Dakota Hudson back on the mound. Don't forget his stat line. 20 starts this year. Hoff, how many? This is a quiz. If you were paying attention yesterday,
ooh,
and Frank
yesterday.
Really wasn't because they
yesterday.
Had some food on our remote.
God,
so
you were on remote. I was here. It's a lot to ask. Okay, what's the
20
question?
20 starts okay. for Dakota Hudson.
And?
How many times has he had a start where he gave up more than 3 runs? In 20 starts.
More than 3 runs.
Because it happens, right? A game here, a game there.
I'll
like
say
how many?
Four.
How about once?
One. I was close.
So in 19.
Caveat. There's a game in San Diego where he allowed one run but had like 6 unearned runs.
Hey, earned
caveat,
runs.
Caveat.
One game, earned runs, out of 20 where he gave up. You've been hanging around Plaza too long. Jim Hayes gave me,
I got that,
Hayes gave me
my
talking points, okay? Now you guys are trying to deflate him. Cards going
Oh, don't have him give you talking points.
Cards have won 8 of 10. The Cubs did lose. The Brewers lost. Cardinals are a game and a half back.
Kind of rough losses for both of them, too. The Reds coming back in the 9th inning against Milwaukee, who hit that grand slam in the 8th, and then the Giants coming back in the bottom of the 8th against the Cubs. Kind of disheartening losses for each team.
Hollywood Casino Press Box here on 590 The Fan. Maryville brings you the text line 855-282-8255. Trade deadline around the corner. We talked to Walt Jocketty the other day, and a lot of Walt's legacy here, not just winning teams, but the players they acquired. And as I think the fan expectation is for Mo to make a move. He was on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com yesterday, said we'd be looking for a little left-handed relief to augment Andrew Miller. And I think he could be bluffing a little bit,
yeah,
but I think most fans were sort of yawning and saying, so we're going to upgrade a Clayton Shreve. That's the move.
Been there, done that, Zach Duke.
Yeah, and in the past, you'd say, God, who'd we get? Not even at the deadline. Larry Walker, I think, was in August, or was it Will Clark? Scott Rolen was a July deal. And even Mo, Octavio Dotel, the big Blue Jay deal where you dumped Rasmus, which had become an issue, a distraction. And you got Zibchinski, who never
got
really.
Who?
Zibchinski!
Got Lynn?
Lance Lynn. Will never get old. So there have been some big deals in the past, just not lately. But one of the topics for Walt was getting a deal done. Like, is that something, you know, you're working on a day, a week? How does it play out?
My philosophy always was to be patient and persistent. You know, you got to be patient because some guys don't move as fast, or they're not sure what they want to do, and you just have to keep after them. I think the trade that really took the longest was the Jim Edmonds trade. I started talking to Bill Stoneman, who was the GM of the Angels at the time, at the GM meetings in November, and we stayed in contact over the offseason and in the spring training. And we finally were able to make that trade, I think, like towards the end of March in 2000. And that was so that was probably the longest trade that we took. Also, the trade with John Schultz where he acquired Jason Marquis and Adam Wainwright and Ray King. That took several months to get completed, but it's. I think the Edmonds deal was probably the longest. Usually they take, you know, sometimes they'll go quick. The deal I made with Kevin Towers for Woody Williams, for Ray Langford, that took a matter of days.
And I think one of the hangups there is the Padres were, I think, offering Sterling Hitchcock. Remember, he ended up coming here anyway,
yeah,
I think, the next season.
Yeah.
But they got Woody, which was a big-time addition, changed the staff and part of some great teams. But I think there was pushback from the Padres offering Hitchcock, or the Cardinals wanted him, but it ended up being Woody Williams. I wish the Edmonds deal had been delayed because Jim had been involved. Oh, Midwest? I don't want to go to St. Louis.
It's going to be hot there. Where's the beach?
Wouldn't it have been a better story? Not Bill Stoneman, the GM of the Angels, but that Edmund slowed it down because he got involved. And, do I have to pack up my house?
I think
the best part of all these imitations is that they're true. Where's the cat? We could tell we'd be in the clubhouse and it'd be 110 degrees because it's St. Louis summer. And Jim would walk in and he'd say, can we just skip BP today?
I think the takeaway.
Tony's like, you're making $7 million. Get out there.
The takeaway from that clip from Walt Jocketty discussing that it's not a quick process. It takes, even at a minimum, a couple days for a trade to materialize, is that Charlie Marlowe could not be a Major League Baseball GM. Can you imagine Chuck texting, your team sucks, give me Edmonds?
The bully GM from the fantasy
you
world.
Hate your team, you don't like this player, give him to me.
You know, and in Mo's resume, I guess, because we're saying that some of these deadline deals have been lackluster. We should actually review who they have been the last couple of years. Because
2009 was Holiday. 2010 was the Ludwig deal where they acquired Jake Westbrook, which had a little bit more payoff the following year.
Winning pitcher, game six.
Yes.
Never forget.
11 was Rasmus, and then...
Well, and you had the big shakeup, which was to get John Lackey. I forget
when. That was 14.
That was in 14, but I forget when, if it was well before the deadline. But that was a big deal because they were sort of stumbling, and the room had become comfortable. You traded Alan Craig and Joe Kelly. It was like a lightning bolt into the room. Plus, John Lackey gave them that nasty veteran, and they were in the playoffs the 2 years
and
Lackey was here, 14 and 15.
That opened up the door, at least for the rest of that year, for Oscar Tavares to get more playing time, which I think was kind of an issue. Prior, that was on the trade deadline, July 31st.
So getting Lackey, big-time move. The Dotel-Toronto deal was a big-time. And a couple of these, too, you moved Rasmus, who had become a distraction, become an issue with Tony. And then you also move Alan Craig, who was about to be a declining asset. So those are on the Mo resume, but I was going to point out that the Goldschmidt deal took a long time. And Mo basically echoed what Walt was saying about patient and persistent, because he said he would just kind of keep checking in. He knew that Arizona was motivated to move him, but he would just keep pounding away, which I guess is the persistent part, but you got to be patient because I think that one played out over several weeks.
2012, Mujica.
Came from Miami?
Yeah, it was a July 31st deal.
And had some big moments.
Yes.
And then the last couple of years?
Nothing.
And let's see, what's the theme there?
Is there a theme? Can you find
a pattern?
So
you're saying in 2011.
Big move.
2009, Holiday.
Uh-huh.
2012, a quality
addition. A good supplemental move.
2014, a big deal.
Big move.
Shakes it up. Hold on, what happened in all those years?
2015 would have been Brandon Moss, which didn't really pay off ever.
But for the most part, what we're saying, in those years where the moves were slightly significant, you were in October team.
You played in the playoffs.
And in the last couple of years, not such big moves and not in October. Maybe there's a correlation.
Theme?
Hey, Maryville brings you the text line, 855-282-8255. You can get involved on the text line. Next hour, Dr. Rick Lehman. Also, our Tuesday visit with Kenny Wallace.
I want to mention the Bomarito Automotive Group, Missouri's number one automotive group. Check them out online at bomarito.com. The Bomarito 500 is rapidly approaching. You can head out to WWTRaceway.com to purchase your tickets for that today. Also, the Gatesworth, the finest in senior living. If you're looking for a place for mom and dad, you can do the Gatesworth or you can do Hollywood Casino.
Either
is great for your elderly parents. You can have a lot of great time at both places, the Gatesworth.com and the Hollywood Casino Press Box, the title sponsor. You guys seem to get a lot of fun at their golf tournament yesterday.
Yeah, and that not only was it a great event and they're raising money for American Cancer Society, but as we're sitting there, it was kind of gloomy and dark. And by the time they teed off, it was sunny.
The weather turned. That was good for them.
It was perfect. All right, we'll come back. Dr. Rick, Kenny Wallace, even a Chuck Marlowe sighting. Maybe he'll have my $10. We'll find out next.